G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And I have a fantastic inspired topic for you today, and that is that the human body is an electrical, energetic system. It's a little bit of an unusual topic, but I really feel that this is important because there's so much more information coming out about this, and it's something that certainly affects the way that the learners are in their environment and how they actually take on information and really who and what we are. It's that whole essence of who and what we are, and we are electrical beings. I know that there's been a lot of information, particularly over the last few years, around, the Schumann resonance and having to go grounding, and lots of information about Wi-Fi and how it affects our body with voltage. And then, of course, the bursts of energy and plasma and heat and electricity, pretty much, that's coming from the sun and how that's affecting our bodies. Pretty much everything about it at the moment. So there's a lot of information, there's a lot of theories around this, and it got me curious around how does the fact that humans have an electrical energetic system, how can we enhance this and what can we do to optimize this for learning and in the learning environment? Because every cell communicates in our body as using tiny electrical signals. And I am not an expert. I don't know all of this. I basically know the basics, but I do know that the nervous system is an electrochemical network and it's essential. And it really has a lot. I feel like it's actually got a lot more power and a lot more to it than what we've been led to believe. We know that the heart produces the strongest electromagnetic field in the body. The heart is extremely powerful, much more powerful than the mind, and it's also measurable. They can measure it several feet outside the body. So that is definitely part of this electrical system. Of course, the brain generates electrical, brain waves like oscillations, and it's constantly transmitting and receiving information. It's almost like it's an antenna, which is another way of flipping how we see the human body. Because when you think about the traditional education system, particularly in the last 100 years or so, it's we have been given information. Information has been, I wouldn't necessarily say imposed upon us, but really that's what I am saying. It's been imposed. This is the information that you must learn. Here it is. This is the curriculum. Do, and our brains are transmitting and receiving that information. And yet, there is so much more going on behind the scenes. There's, your intuition and all of your different senses, and there's a lot going on that we possibly might not have been aware of before, and we might not even know how to name it, and yet it is vital when it comes to us receiving energy, receiving information, and choosing what to do with it. It's very different. The age of Pisces was really about that information age and seeking information and gathering information and learning knowledge and studying. But we've now shifted into the age of Aquarius, and I can feel that something has shifted. And that's because we're not meant to be seeking. We already have all of the answers that we need inside of us if we actually go within and focus and tune in and listen to the bodies and our signals. So I feel that education is shifting, it's already shifting from the knowledge, just the knowledge and the intellectual side, to more the embodying of the doing and the experiences and embodying the knowledge. So there is going to be a shift, huge shift, continuing towards the walking the talk, pretty much. Learning the information and getting a piece of paper saying, "Oh, you have this qualification," that's very old school. It's are you do you have the skill sets? Do you have the mindset, heart set, courage, inclination, to get out and do something with the information, to contribute to society, to community, to yourself, and shift and grow and have deeper learning, That's where I really feel this is about. And the fact that we have that this energetic system feels like it could definitely be a tool to understand as we're navigating this, because we really need to comprehend how our own bodies work and also how your own electrical fields affect the people around you. So if you're a coach or a mentor or a peer or just even a friend, in understanding, comprehending your own field, your own electrical field, your energies, your emotions, how to protect it, how to preserve it, how to embody it and use it to your advantage, and how to reach out and connect to the field and to nature and to animals and your pets. There's just so many different layers in this. It feels like, humans are not just biological, I guess is probably the word I'm searching for. We're electrical, we're conductive, and we're constantly exchanging energy with our environment. And that includes other people. The cells, the heart, the brain, of course, I've talked about, but also our muscles fire due to electrical impulses. And even thought itself is an electrical activity. I mean, people have been talking for years about things like telepathy and picking up on someone's thoughts. I know twins certainly do it as well. There's definitely something in this. And some people say, oh, this is also woo-woo. No, it's not. It's science. It's proven science. It's not the science that's bought and paid for by corporations, basically. And so this is really important. I also feel like water is a conductor to life. Water is essential because water and electricity, there's a thing there. We really need to stop and think about that. But we do know that our waters, our human body is about 70 to 90% water, depending on your age and your tissue type and all of those sorts of things. It varies. But water conducts electricity. It allows the ions, the nutrients, the signals to move through the body. So, having good quality, fresh, clean water in your learning environment and throughout your day is absolutely vital. And teaching young children in particular that, soft drinks and all the sugary drinks, what it is doing to their body compared to something as pure as water. Water is really life when you think about it. And we know that structured water is also essential. Now, if you haven't heard of structured water before, I really urge you to check it out because it is very valuable for not only your health, because your cells behave like, I guess, a crystalline matrix, and it responds to light and heat and vibration. And structuring the water actually makes a big difference when you are absorbing the water into your body. Dr. Emoto's work really does suggest that water responds to intention and sound and words, with changing of the patterns, with the photographing of the ice crystals that he's done. And we've talked about his work before, but the work that he has done, and many others, of course, really show that that the water within our bodies, and if we're conducting it with electricity, it really sparks lots of alchemy happening in our body, which will certainly help with the learning. I mean, the electricity in our brain is fascinating as well. Like, there's just so many levels to this. Oh, I'm so excited. Can you probably tell I'm trying to gather all of my thoughts while I'm talking to you? I mean, if the body is mostly water and water responds to energy and to intention, and then to our thoughts and emotions and the environment, profoundly influences the internal state of learning in our children and, of course, adults. It's got a huge impact on everything that we do. And, while we're talking about thoughts, every thought actually produces a measurable electrical pattern in the brain. It's really fascinating to check this out. If you haven't seen it, it's good to have as an investigation or a learning unit of work where you can get children to go and investigate and watch and have a look at this for themselves, because it will shift the way they see themselves. It will shift the way they see everything when they can see the electromagnetic pulses from all living beings, not just humans, of course. And of course, we know that words carry vibration, which are essentially sound waves, which does change the structure of matter, including water, which what's in our bodies. So when they say the old saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that is such BS. It's just absolute rubbish, because words can actually have a huge direct impact, massive impact within our cells and within our system, and it can hold that trauma of words that have been spoken to you. And I don't know about you, but you do. I have sporadic memories of childhood of specific words or a phrase or something that was said to me, and I still remember it today. It was like a nodal point shaping who and what I am and how I act today. So we cannot discount something as important as this information that I'm sharing with you. I mean, emotions shift in an electrical rhythm of the heart, you know, our heart coherence versus the incoherence. This is all part of the electrical system as well. And the magnetic fields are created by our emotional states because we know that our thoughts are electrical, but our feelings are magnetic and it draws experiences to us through our perception and our behavior. Now, why aren't we teaching this in schools? Because this would actually change a lot of the behavior of children. They would really know and be able to stand in their power and be able to comprehend how and what they are doing when they are moving through life. It doesn't have to be top of mind for them, but just having this comprehension and this sense of understanding is feels like this is really important. I mean, high stress environments really scramble coherent brainwaves. So when you think about sending children into like year 12 exams and they're so stressed, why are we doing this to them? You know, being calm and grounded and heart-centered really increases learning capacity. So as an educator, it's important for us to have strategies or and to be able to teach children and young adults strategies on how to ground themselves and how to center themselves through breath work. There's lots of grounding things. I can talk about grounding shortly. And I know in the article that I've written this week, I've got lots of activities and suggestions around this topic. So if you are interested, make sure you check out my landing page and make sure you check out the article that I've published on BBS, wonderful BBS radio this week. So you can go to that on bbsradio.com/ All Learning Reimagined. And that's where you'll find the article and, of course, the archives to all my shows. So anyway, I digress. I want to go back to the fact that the humans are like an antenna. We have the vagus nerve, we have fascia, we have cellular membranes that act like receivers of all environmental information. So pretty much we are literally walking antennas. And that's a fascinating concept for young children. I know when I've discussed it with them, some of them it takes them a little while to sort of wrap their head around it because they haven't heard the information before. But after you talk about it and you come back to this in different opportunities, they can actually start to subtly notice the nuances of when they're picking up on subtle energies. You know, if you turn fluoro lights on, it actually changes their energies. They'd much prefer the sunlight. Different music affects their bodies in different ways. So the human is picking up on the different emotions and the different beats and the different frequencies of the musics and the sounds around them. So all of these subtle things have got to do with the fact that humans are like an antenna. I mean, our hair, our skin, oh gosh, subtle biofields really pick up the electromagnetic cues from the people and the places, not to mention the technology. I mean, we're literally, if you're in a big city, you're literally being fried by EMFs. It does all sorts of things to our system and really keeps us in our headspace and out of our body, unless you're really grounded. Tapping into nature as much as you can, and possibly doing lots of physical exercise, to ground and keep back into your body, it does have a huge impact on how we learn. And then that, of course, ties into our intuition, which can actually be explained as like a pattern detection, like a biofield sensitivity. It's something that we all know that we have, but no one seems to know how to explain it. They might say you've got a gut feeling, but it is actually more than that. And children are incredibly insensitive antennas. They're often much more aware of emotional and energetic environments than adults. I mean, you take a small child into an environment and they scream and carry on, and we're thinking that they're just being spoiled or having a tantrum, but actually they're possibly picking up on a lot of frequencies or energies around them, and it's harming them. I know animals certainly pick up on this. You know, dogs and cats can certainly, and lots of other animals can sense things before we clunky old humans are able to sense them because we're so distracted all of the time. But when you're in tune with your body and your own energetic system, it's like a symphony. It just plays beautifully. So, I mean, learning is relational and energetic before it becomes cognitive. And I feel like that's actually that's a really good statement. I might say that again. Learning is relational and energetic before it is cognitive. So before anything is created into a memory and a thought for your deep learning, electricity comes first on all of these different layers that we were talking about. So why are we not, as educators, why are they not teaching this in universities, and why are not our parents not aware of this? Children not aware of this. This should be common knowledge. And people can say, yes, well, the information's out there. And people do know, but really, do they really know? Do we put an importance on this? Something that is so key and essential to how we live every moment of every day. Really truly understanding this. And this is worth teaching. This is worth sitting and reflecting on. Just saying, I'm thinking. I'm reflecting back on my own years and going, wow, I've had so many teachable moments in this where I could have brought this information into my classroom or into that learning moment, and I never did, and I'm regretting that. So I'm choosing to, from here on in, choosing to make sure that I am picking up on this a lot more, and becoming a little bit more coherent with my and in tune with my environment and the people around me. And so, how do you become coherent? Well, when your breathing slows and your heart rhythms, you're smooth, I guess, and the mind is quiet, because silence is a really big important part of this. The brain actually shifts into alpha, so the alpha brain waves, which is the gateway for creativity and memory and intuition, you know, the flow state. And this is something which is talked about ad nauseum and yet is not openly promoted in learning environments. It's sort of like it's an add-on. Okay, now we're going to meditate, or now we're going to sit and deep breathe. But it's not something that's embedded and embodied throughout a traditional learning day. In some learning environments, not all learning environments. I cannot speak for all learning environments, because I'm imagining forest schools and Montessori schools and Steiner schools will probably have a completely different take on what I'm saying. I'm talking about your basic mainstream schooling, pretty much in Western society anyway. Coherence aligns electrical and emotional and cognitive systems. We know this, and this is why natural light, fresh air, hydration with pure water, and of course, emotional safety, feeling that so you're not in fight or flight, really improves learning dramatically. So we must teach young children how to regulate their energy, and not just regulate their behavior. We've been teaching them for years how to regulate their behavior, but regulating your energy actually, can stop any behavior from shifting down the track anyway. I mean, our environment shapes, brain electrics, I guess you could say. I mean, fluorescent lighting disrupts circadian rhythms. We know this. So why are there fluorescent lights in most buildings, and in most cities when we know that it affects us so negatively? You know, the blue lights and the screens overstimulate the visual cortex and our nervous system. Children who are really sensitive to this are aware of it, but ordinary everyday life in a school doesn't really take these things into consideration. Natural environments balance the body's electrical charge, which means grounding, earthing, getting your shoes off, getting your feet on the earth, your hands on the earth, sitting on the ground, going and sitting on the ground in outside classrooms and spaces, are so much better than being on synthetic carpets in four walls with Wi-Fi beaming. Every child has a laptop. We're literally frying ourselves in this soup and then trying to work out why children won't concentrate and learn and question their behavior, because they're in stimulation overload. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, a classroom design should not just be cosmetic. I mean, it directly affects neurological readiness to learn. So, I just feel it's really important, and it's time for parents and educators to take a good, long, hard look around the environment that they're learning in. Even if you're homeschooling, where are the children learning? Where are you learning? And what is happening with this electrical, part of our human body? So then this shifts us to, it's really like a pedagogical shift. Learning as energy management. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but educators and parents can become facilitators of their coherence and not just deliver content. You know, emotional regulation is a prerequisite, we know, to literacy and numeracy and problem solving, but and trauma disrupts electrical coherence. So students can't think clearly when they're dysregulated, and the electrical interference is certainly helps and does hinder us, helps towards the trauma and hinders us in the learning, I should probably clarify. So managing energy really is like managing learning. So things like breath work, you know, before the beginning of every lesson, if you're in a high school, before the beginning of every lesson, when the children come in and settle, get them to take three deep breaths and regulate their system before you get into the learning. It can be that simple. It does not have to change everything. Having silence, you know, lots of schools now are having brain breaks, which is great, but a lot of the brain breaks require more thinking, lot more talking, lots more loud and noise. Sometimes it might just be having a good old water break and sitting in silence, or asking the children to go outside and hug a tree, or sit in the sun for 3 minutes and then come back in, and we're going to continue our learning into the classroom. So there are lots of different biological tools we can use to improve co cognition with energy management. That's what I'm going to call. I actually think it works. Energy management seems to work. So I'm going to come full circle then. So what does this actually mean for parents and educators? Well, hydration rituals, I guess. So water is your cognitive fuel, making sure that there are regular water breaks and that children have the water. I like to put a little pinch of organic sea salt in my water. I like salt in my water because that helps with the electricity and the water running through my body. The electrolytes are really important. So that's what I do. And I do encourage my children, my students, to think about doing this. Whether they do or not, it's completely up to them. They're sovereign. But it is something I certainly model. I know when I'm in a classroom, the first thing I do is turn off all the fluoro lights except for one, and I have all of the windows open with the blinds up. So I have as much natural light as I possibly can. And if it's a cloudy day, then yes, I need to turn lights on, but I always leave the one that's running down the middle of the classroom completely off. And it just shifts and it calms the nervous system. So just being aware of your natural light and your outdoor learning as just standard practice and not an occasional extra is really vital. And that's something adults can do, even in your own household. Using silence, we've already talked about, and getting children younger children, even teenagers, it doesn't really matter what age it is, adults, to just notice their own inner state. So sometimes just asking a question of, what does my energy feel like right now? I know there's a big movement at the moment of, using your one word barometer and how do I feel right now and name this word and, with all of the neuroscience that's coming out around this, but how do I feel or how does my energy feel right now taps into their body? And I feel like it's a deeper question. I feel like all of these things can really shift more from having behavior charts to more energy awareness and self-regulation. So if they're like, okay, I've got too much energy, children might say, I've got ants in my pants, I need to move. Well, then let them get up and walk around the classroom or move or have a fidget toy or something where they actually need to move to get that energy out. I know I've told this story before, but years ago when I was teaching a class which was actually predominantly all boys, I used to take them out on the oval and run them around the oval before we came into the classroom for the day. Barefoot, we grounded, we talked, we got fresh air, and they actually managed to get a lot of that energy out so that they could sit down and then they could focus. To the point where sometimes we would do it in the middle of the day if they needed it. It really depended. There was no one size fits all. It really depended on what the learners needed at the time. So, it's really important to include them in the conversation of what do they feel they need. And it's not a one size fits all. Getting them to honor their own intuition and their own sensory awareness and their own emotional signals in the learning process is setting them up for life, managing and self-regulating and self-governing for life. What a gift. Just what a gift. Because this really changes everything. I mean, if humans are electrical, learning's not only mental, it's also energetic, emotional, relational, and it's environmental. It's not just mental. We've been indoctrinated to believe that learning is a mental process. No, it's not. It's a whole body process. It's so much more. And shifting that perception means that we can shift practice, daily practice. And when educators understand that the body is an antenna receiving and processing and broadcasting information, learning really does become a whole new experience, a really new experience. And, it's that good old-fashioned saying. I love this saying. I can't remember who I first heard say this saying. Might have been Wayne Dyer, I'm not sure. But, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So when we change the way we look at things, when we're considering an antenna and our environment and the water we're drinking and the electricity coursing through our nervous systems, the things we look at and how we perceive them actually change. And that's because I believe that children flourish when we understand learning as an energetic act, not just a mental or an academic one. There's so much more to learning environments and schools than simply academics. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've run out of things to say now. I had all of this information I wanted to give you, and it's just sort of poured out of me. I can't even remember what I spoke about, but that's okay. I just trust that what needed to be said was said today, and I hope that you managed to get something out of that information to stop and reflect on your own environments and your own bodies and your own electrical systems. And if this is something you've never heard before, really check it out. It's something worth investigating. And I'm sure many people learning are all over this. Many people listening to this are all over this, of course. But it's not a bad time to have a reminder. Yeah, have a reminder. Now, in the article that I'm posting this week, I will have activities on and information on like why grounding works, because the earth carries a negative electrical charge. We know the ocean also has negative ions. That's why it's so heart calming and healing, the ocean air. I talk about the benefits of grounding and learning and well-being, and then I give you lots of simple grounding activities that, go for about 2 minutes up to 10 minutes, very quick. Things like tree leaning and hand to earth resets, grounding through water, body scanning, breath work, very, very simple activities. Gardening and digging is also a really good one. Of course, I'm a huge fan of gardening, as you know. And then I've also got lots of hints and tips on understanding and comprehending EMF interference and what it can do in the learning and the sorts of things that we can do about that. Because EMF interference, particularly with our thoughts and emotions, there's lots of thoughts and emotions that can actually be beamed to you, and they're not your own thoughts, but you're picking up on this. And this is also another really important skill and awareness to have. But that is a whole nother conversation. I could talk for another whole half an hour on that one. Anyway, thank you so much for listening today to me on All Learning Reimagined. I'll be back again next week with another fantastic topic, of course. And until then, I would love for you, encourage you to go out and explore, express, experience, go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system. We are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.